Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Here are some highlights and prophetic ministry from this service.
I just was feeling the sense in God this morning that some of you feel as though it's a struggle to get the praise fire lit this morning. While we were singing that song just a moment ago about the fire of God, I just heard the Holy Spirit say, just let them know I can consume their wet wood. Your wood that has been drowned out by circumstance and discouragement. The enemy's taking his shots and you're like, oh, God, I want to praise you, but man, I'm having a hard time getting my praise fire lit this morning. God says, make an offering of it. Make an offering of the circumstance. Make an offering of the pain. Make an offering of those things that you don't even know how to put words into. And let God consume the sacrifice. Your praise is most precious to Him when it comes out of a moment of struggle. Let God consume your wet wood this morning. He is well able, just as He did for the prophet on the mountain. Offer it to Him, and He'll take it and consume it. Put your praise on.
Well, I think we ought to do that then. Come on, let's shout to the Lord. Let's shout hallelujah. You can stand, you can wave a hand, you can give a clap offering. Come on, let's bless the Lord. Lord, we bless you. We want to receive, Lord, what you have. Oh, we praise you, Lord. You are worthy. You are worthy. Even in the trial. Even in the trial, you are worthy, Lord. Hallelujah. Even when I am down, I can be up. Even when I am low, the Lord lifts me up. Hallelujah.
Now let's go into the service for today's message.
You're in for a treat. If you like to hear what God is saying, if you like to laugh, if you like to understand truth that comes in a timely fashion, then you're going to love Pastor Patrick Keitley. For years, the pastor of Shiloh Church in Oakland, and now on a great church planting mission in the city, in a suburb of Atlanta, Georgia. Patrick's preached all over the world. He's one of the most exciting voices in the body of Christ today, and it's an honor to be his friend and to know his families and to see his progress through the years. You're going to be blessed. I want you to welcome Pastor Patrick Keitley as he comes. God bless you, Patrick. Love you, brother.
Good morning. How you doing, Gateway? It's an honor and a privilege to be here with you all. And it's an honor and a privilege to be here with your pastors and the one and only Dr. C, an apostle to the nations. What a privilege and honor to be here with you today. God bless you. It is just great to be here in this house. I come from Atlanta, Georgia, flew all the way from Atlanta, Georgia yesterday, y'all, and I'm from the Bay, I'm from Oakland, but y'all is kind of sticking with me now, and a little bit of Chick-fil-A and Cracker Barrel in my life, and God is good. God is good. Don't get me started talking about food here this morning. No biscuits and gravy. No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the Word of the Lord. Amen. But you know what? Our dubs. I'm from Atlanta, but I'm really from here. They let us down. And 3-1. Come on, baby. Come on. And then the Sharks got bit by the Penguins. How in the world of animal, the animal kingdom, do Penguins beat Sharks? This is wrong. This is totally wrong. And Warriors, how do they lose to Cavaliers, you know? So I'm going to give you opportunity to cheer because we haven't had a chance to cheer. So I want us to cheer when I make this statement, like we just won the world championship, and I want to say this. This is a great church. Come on. Come on. And while we're at it, you have great pastors. Amen. We love Dr. David and Kathy Kenestracy, and thank God for them. Our families have been connected for generations. Four generations of my family, at least, have been connected to this house and to you all. And so it's a privilege. I feel like I'm just coming back home, and it's a privilege. My mom and dad, Dr. David Keitley, was here last night, and we did a youth meeting with Reality and with Lift, and we're prophesying over the generation. It was amazing. And my dad and mom, they both turned 70 this last year, and so they wanted to come to the youth meeting instead of coming here in the morning because they still feel like they're young. But they send their love, their greetings to you. I also bring greetings to you from my baby mama, my wife, Marlena, and our children, Haley and Zach and Hope. And God is doing wonderful things. We pastored in Oakland for 22 years, eight of those years as senior pastors at Shiloh Church, and saw God do amazing things. And for the last 2 years, we lived in Nash, Vegas, and in the center of country music. I'm from Oakland, you know, and I'm in the middle of country music, and it's like, okay, Lord Jesus, this give me grace, but I'm not a line dancer, you know, but God is good. He's faithful. And we traveled out of there, and our oldest daughter's in the music industry, and God's just doing great things with her. So we were there. But this last fall on Thanksgiving Day, my grandmother, Dr. Violet Keitley, went home to be with Jesus. And I thought, you know, my dad was actually with us in Vegas at the time, my mom and dad, and we found out the news, and just for a moment, we just stopped and said, what a wonderful day. You know, knowing her, she couldn't just go out on a regular day. It had to be Thanksgiving Day. And God said, you know what? I want her at my table. And she was a pioneer preacher. She was a woman preacher before women preachers were allowed to be women preachers. And she was a pioneer. And in fact, I brought her book with me. I brought a few things with me. I brought her book, Relationship, the only book she wrote, Relationship, the Key to Fulfillment. And it's a handbook with the book of Song of Solomon. Also, my daughter, I said she's in the music industry. She did a few years ago, did a kid CD. If you have children or you are a kid at heart, this CD is like one of those you're bouncing down the road kind of things. It's like kids bop meets, you know, worship, praise and worship. And this was number 6 on iTunes back a couple years back. And number 6 is on iTunes for children. And this is a kid's CD. So if you want to get this, I have this available. The producer of it actually produced did the music for another very small, little, unknown movie called Frozen. And he's a spirit-filled Christian, and he did this album as well. Brought a couple other things too. Just go real quickly. Did a sermon a couple years back called Who Let the Dogs Out? And got a few dogs on the cover, but this is a CD-DVD combo, and so you can listen to your car, watch it, but it's the whole concept from Philippians chapter 3, where the Apostle Paul talked about beware of dogs, and he started going down about comparing, all this comparing, and he said, if you want to compare, hey, listen, I was circumcised on the 8th day. I was born in the tribe of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, all these things. But he comes to a point where we realize nothing compares to Jesus. And so this is a fun sermon, real humorous. And then brought one more, got another one called Don't Trip, This Is God's Trip. This is also from the book of Philippians. And this is a story of a guy named Epaphroditus. Can somebody say Epaphroditus? Epaphroditus, you know, that's who would name their baby Epaphroditus? What's your baby's name? Epaphroditus. Okay, but this was a whole story. The Bible says he was sick unto death, and he went on a trip, thought he was going to do one thing, but God wanted to accomplish something even greater. And so we need to realize along the way, don't trip, no matter what's going on in your story. The storm might be going and whipping up, but don't trip. This is God's trip. And my daughter, she likes to design stuff, and so she said, Dad, you need a t-shirt. And so she designed a t-shirt that goes along with this, says, don't trip, this is God's trip. So I got all this stuff here, and I'll meet you at the table in the back and say hi at the end, but thank you very much. Amen. But it's good to be here in this house today. I believe that God in this season is going to prove himself in your life greater than you ever thought. How many are ready to see God greater and bigger and better than ever? I believe it's time, the way the world is going, I believe it's time where God's about to show off. He's about to show off and show the world who he is, and he's going to get the glory through our lives. We're in a time and season of the earth where there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot that is going on, but God is greater. He's greater than any enemy. He's greater than ISIS. He's greater than the stock market. He's greater than what's going on in Europe and what's going on in this country. He's greater than the Republican Party. He's greater than the Democratic Party. Amen. He's greater than any kind of media. He's greater. And that reminds me of a story of a little boy. He was one time sitting in a park, and he was reading his Bible. And just a kid. He was sitting in a park, and he was kind of like us. He was reading his Bible, and when it got good to him, he just kind of shouted out, "Amen! Hallelujah!" In fact, can we practice that right now? Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
Can somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Can somebody wave your hand and say, "Thank you, Jesus"?
Thank
you. Well, this is a fun service. All right. Can somebody say, "Praise the Lord"? Okay, at any given moment during this time, you can shout out any of that. And my dad says, if you don't know how to say hallelujah, just shout hot dog. Whatever you need to say, just say it. Amen. Just have a good time. But this little boy, he was reading his Bible, and he was reading the story in the book of Exodus of the Lord opening up the Red Sea for the children of Israel to go through on dry ground. And when he read that story, he just shouted out, "Amen." And as he was doing it, reading his Bible, and he shouted out, there was this man who walked by. And as he walked by, he heard this kid getting a little bit loud, a little extra in the park. And so he walked up to the kid and he said, "Hey kid, what's going on? Why are you yelling in this park?" And he said, "Sir, do you see this? I have my Bible. And I'm reading in my Bible in the book of Exodus, and I found out that God opened up the Red Sea for the Israelites to go over on dry ground." And the man, who was edumacated and knew a few things about science — I only believe in science — and he was there in this place, and he said, I'm going to correct this kid. And so he said, "Listen, kid, do you realize that science has now proven that during that time in history when Israel crossed over, that the Red Sea was actually only 14 inches of water high?" So the little boy heard this and was kind of dejected a little bit, and he was like, "Okay." And the man, feeling good about himself, kind of was smug, just kind of looked at the kid and started to walk away. But as he walked away, the little kid even louder yelled out, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" And now this annoyed the man, because he already corrected this kid. And so he said to the kid, "Now what?" And the kid said, "I just realized something. God is greater than I ever thought. Not only did he open up the Red Sea for the Israelites to go over on dry ground, but he drowned the entire Egyptian army in only 14 inches of water." How many know God is greater? And he's going to prove himself greater than every foe, than every enemy, than every struggle, than every challenge that you have in your life. Can somebody just say, "God is greater"? Come on, just nudge about three or four people near you and tell them, "God is greater. He's greater than I ever thought." Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 17. And we're going to read today just a few verses. Last night we shared with the young people, who, by the way, I want you to know something. I'm going to report to you now. You have an amazing group of young high schoolers and young adults in this house. The hand of the Lord is upon them. I couldn't stop prophesying over them. Every time I looked up, I was like, "Oh, there's another one." And then after we finished the meeting, we just kept going. And I just believe that God has a word of activation for this generation, that he's speaking in this hour. And so what an awesome night. And we capped it off because I live outside of California, and they took me to In-N-Out. And so I have a reason to worship here this morning. Because, I mean, I come from the land of Chick-fil-A. That's where Chick-fil-A is from, Atlanta. And it's wonderful. It's glorious. It's victorious. It's on every exit where you are in Atlanta. But we don't have In-N-Out. And so last night, I just want to testify that Jordan Kenneth Tracy, God bless him, there's a double portion coming on his life. Took me and got me a double-double with animal style. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Last night we shared on a familiar story, and I want to share this with you. We're in a time frame in the earth where the familiar is going to become strange, and the strange is going to become familiar. And last night we shared the story of when Samuel went to Jesse's house, and Jesse lined and paraded all his sons in front of Samuel because God told Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel. And as each son went by, God said, no, 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 no. Has anyone ever heard the no's of God? All the sons of Jesse, they were related. They were the sons of Jesse. They were the sons of Obed. They were sons of Boaz and Ruth, and they were the sons of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. They were all related, but they weren't necessarily rightful. Sometimes in our lives, there are choices and options that we have that seem like they're related, but they're not necessarily rightful. And we got to hear God say no, 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 no. And he doesn't say no all the time, but he'll say no until we get to the yes. And God, when David came forward, God spoke to Samuel and said, this is the one, anoint him. And when he anointed him, the scripture says the Spirit of the Lord came upon him powerfully. You see, last night we talked to a generation, the Spirit of the Lord's coming upon them powerfully. This is the one. Samuel, hear this. This is the one. Anoint him. Because the Spirit of the Lord's coming upon him powerfully. Fast forward to our verse here today, and we read from 1 Samuel chapter 17. And just want to pick up on a portion of the story, and I'll fill in the blanks. But in verse 48, it says, as Goliath moved closer to attack David, David quickly ran out to meet him. I love this. Reaching into a shepherd's bag and taking out a stone, he hurled it and his sling and hit the Philistine in the forehead. The stone sank in and Goliath stumbled and fell face down on the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with only a sling and a stone, for he had no sword. Then David ran over. Every time I see David, he's running. And pulled Goliath's sword from its sheath. David used it to kill him and to cut off his head. Then I flip over to Psalm 8, verses 1 and verse 9. In the NIV, it says, for the director of music, according to Gittith. Can somebody say Gittith? A psalm of David. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Can somebody bow your heads with me right now? Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to dive into your word. Lord, we open up our ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord would say to Gateway City Church. Lord, we thank you for everything you have done. Lord, for what you're doing and what you're taking us into, Lord God. And today, as one people, with one voice, we say, help! In Jesus' name, amen. How many have ever prayed that prayer? How many prayed that prayer this week? It's not eloquent. It's not in the King James Version. Oh, Heavenly Father, we beseech you by the mercies of God. No, help! Sometimes that's, but that's what David understood. I lift my eyes to the hills from where my help comes from. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Sometimes all you can do is just pray one word, help! Or stop! Please stop! I believe that God is in this house today. I want you to get your prophetic bony finger out. Come on, put it up. Let me see it. And I want you to put it in your neighbor's face. Don't hurt them now. Don't poke their eye out. And I want you to tell them, neighbor. Come on, out loud. Come on, say it loud like you're preaching to them. Neighbor, I'm so thankful that what you just went through didn't kill you. The past is behind you. The best is in front of you. Because God still has this. I'm so thankful that what you just went through did not kill you. Is there somebody alive up in here? And I'm so thankful the past is behind you. Goodbye, past. We don't need to live in the past any longer. Our energies do not need to go towards the past. There's too much stuff that we need to focus in on that we can't be held down and held back by the past any longer. The past is behind you and the best is in front of you. Why? Because God still has this. He still has your life. Get your hand out like this and just put it over yourself right now. God still has this. Come on, say it over your life. God still has this. Speak over your mind, your will, your emotions. God still has this. Over your thoughts, over your feelings, over your decisions. God still has, over your spouse right now. God still. There's some ladies here a little too fervent about that. God still has this. You got to do that over your kids. God still has this. Over the young people right now. God still, teenagers, God still has this. You got to do it. Go home today and just walk around your house. What are you doing? God still has this. Go to work tomorrow, Monday morning, and your crazy coworker sitting next to you, God still has this. How you doing? Walk around the building where God still has this. Pull out your wallet, your purse right now. God still has. No, really, get it right now. Get it. Come on. God still has this. He still is in charge. He's in control. The enemy is not going to win this thing. This is not a runaway train. Am I talking to somebody up in here? But God is still in control. He still has this. And the enemy, he might have come in. He might have. But I got to tell you, no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. God still has this. Every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. God still has this. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging for bread. God still has this. The enemy might have come in one way, but he's going to flee before you seven ways. God still has this. The enemy might come in like a flood, but the Spirit of the Lord's going to raise up a standard against it. God still has this. So if you're just walking around, there's some people just walking around. You just wax on, wax off. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, God still, paint the fence. God still has this. Woo, come on now. Or just do it like a DJ. God still has this. We need to declare it. We need to say it. Joe, in the book of Joe, the Bible says, you shall decree a thing, God shall establish it, and light will come. I'm telling you, light is going to come in the midst of darkness, says the Spirit of the Lord. Are you ready? God still has this. God still has your life. You know, one of the things we've been declaring this weekend with the young people and even this morning is that it's time for the rise of the giant killers. When Samuel saw David coming towards him in 1 Samuel 16, he did not just see just this kid who had a harp and a sling, but he saw a giant killer. He saw somebody who was going to rise up and make a difference, who was going to take out an enemy that has been coming against the land and against God's people. And I believe that God is anointing. Now, he's not annoying. He's anointing a company of people with grace and with power who are going to go after the entities that have attempted to take the land and take what is rightfully ours. God's raising up a Davidic type of people in this hour who are giant killers. I'm from Oakland, so it's K-I-L-L-A-S, killers, giant killers. They have something inside of them that says, you know what? You're not going to put up with you any longer. You see, the thing about giants is this. Giants, they come to take. They come to occupy. They come to rule and control, and they come to press down. They come to steal. They come to kill, and they come to destroy. But I believe God is raising up a company of people who understand the presence, who understand what it means about to praise and to worship, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And when God shows up, anything can happen. Nothing is impossible with God. When we have the presence of God, when he shows up in a place, we are carriers of the presence. And everywhere we go, whatever proximity, people come within the proximity of who we are, they're going to be touched by the presence of God, because we have been touched by the presence of God. We are carriers of the presence of God, and there is an anointing. I'm starting a fight club here this morning. There's an anointing coming upon some people who say, you know what, to the enemy, I'm tired of the lack, I'm tired of the flack, I'm tired of the yakety yak. I got a new fact, I'm a Holy Ghost Mac, I'm taking the devil to the rack, so take that, Jack. See, I'm from the hood, okay? Excuse me for a minute. Excuse me. Let me just pull out of myself. I'm from the hood. I grew up in Oakland, and don't let my blonde hair and green eyes fool you. I grew up in the hood. They know where they've been to our church. It's the hood. And I was the white boy on every team that I ever played on. And so there's something about having an attitude. Having some Holy Ghost swag. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to talk about my mama like that. You're not going to talk about my people like that. And guess what, baby? You're not going to talk about my God like that. You see, David, there was something inside of him that rose up and said, oh no, you're not going to do that. And see, you got to understand something, that warriors don't start off as warriors. They start off as worshipers. I know there's some worship people who not a worship in this place. You understand that worship is not your obligation, it's your occupation. It's what you were born to do. You were born to give him glory. Your life is worship. I don't care if you can't sing, your life is a song. Come on, somebody. And David, he understood this, and so he looked at the giant and he was like, oh no, you're not going to come do this. But when David took care of Goliath, there's this thing I like to call the resourcefulness of David. David understood that not only am I going to take down the giant, but I'm also going to take back a whole bunch of stuff that he's tried to take from us. There's some spiritual things that David understood, and so he was very resourceful. He understood that if we're gonna fight this battle, we're gonna get some stuff out of this. We're gonna take from the taker. You see, David had the oil when Samuel came and anointed him, but he also was going to take the spoils. See, I need to prophesy over this house and declare that you're not only going to have the oil, but you're going to take spoils. There's something in San Jose that God has, and I shared this, that God has ordained to touch the nations with. There's something, I have to be careful with my words, but I'm going to say prophetic because prophets are wild. I got to say that there's some things that God had ordained from this place that were about to take place, but for some reason things were forfeited. I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about San Jose. That some things were forfeited, some things were not fully realized, potential did not fully happen. But God says, I'm not through. I still have my same intention. The context might change a little bit, but the intention stays the same. And I believe that this house, God has poised this house and this leadership to be the place, be a place from San Jose where God's going to release something not only into from the South Bay and into the Bay and all over California, but also into America and into the earth. There's something that God wants to import. There is an understanding of the fivefold ministry that releases the saints to do the work of the ministry. There's something, you know something, I've learned this, and this is why I'm going to Atlanta, because I've learned that, you know, a few years ago they flipped the food chart. Well, guess what? God's flipping the fivefold ministry chart. The fivefold ministry, you know this well, I'm not teaching here, because you know this, you taught this. The fivefold ministry is the foundation. And if we do our job right, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, if we do our job right, we're releasing the saints. We're equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry so that everywhere you go, you are releasing ministry. The power of God's flowing through your life. Business people and people in medicine and people in athletics and people in government and people in education and media and all the different areas that you have spheres of influence in. God is releasing you. So when you come in here, you're being fueled up and you're going out. And you're taking what God has given to you. You have the oil. But now it's time for you to take the spoils. So after David killed Goliath, he took five things. He had five stones, but he took five things. He took Goliath's words. He took Goliath's weapons. He took Goliath's head. He took Goliath's armor. And he took his worship. His words, his weapons, his head, his armor, his worship. Because when you look at the scripture, first of all, when they got into the battlefield, Goliath began to talk. In fact, before David got on the battlefield, for 40 days and 40 nights, Goliath was talking. I got to tell you something. The enemy will talk. And when he talks, he doesn't talk nicely to you. He talks smack. He's like LeBron. Are there any Cav fans in this room? Because this is the hour of the shepherd eating the sheep from the goats. And the tares and the wheat. It's time. It's time for separation. But the enemy, pull it back. The enemy talks smack. And he doesn't play games. He lets you know his intention. I'm going to kill you. And I'm going to kill your entire family. And I'm going to kill the whole entire nation of Israel. And your God can't stop me. Something rose up in David. He's like, Because David understood something. The enemy can talk all that he wants. He can talk all that he wants. But 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20 says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but a matter of power. So you can talk, but I'm connected to a daddy who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. I'm connected to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. And I'm connected to the one who's going to take you out. And so David looks at him and he takes Goliath's words from him when he kills him. And he stuffs it back in their face. I wish the warriors did that, but they didn't do it this time. He not only took his words, but he took his weapons. On the battlefield, Goliath had three things. He had a spear, he had a javelin, he had a sword. And he was there. If your enemy, I want you to just tell you right now, if your enemy comes onto the battlefield with a spear, a javelin, and a sword, he's not there to shake your hand and get to know you. He's there to kill you. He comes with one intention. And here we have this mighty warrior, and all we have is David with his little slingshot and five stones. And David took him out. And when he took him out, the Bible says he ran towards him. David was hood. I mean, come on. He didn't just walk like, he wasn't afraid. He ran towards him. He didn't stop. In fact, I don't think he stopped till he got to him when he was lying on the ground. He just kept going and going. There was something inside of him. And we know that when David came up to Goliath, he went and he took Goliath's sword and he cut Goliath's head off with Goliath's sword. Can you imagine that? That God's raising up a company of people in this hour who are not going to be afraid to pick up the giant's sword and to behead and decapitate the giant with his very own sword. See, my daughter, here's an example. My daughter, she's in the music industry and she's in mainstream. And she writes for a lot of artists and different ones. And she's 16 years old. And I told her, I said, listen, God's teaching you how to take Goliath's sword and to cut Goliath's head off with his sword. David takes the sword and he gives it to the high priest. One day in the future, David needed that sword one more time to fight. But he not only got his words and his weapons, but he also got his head. Because when he took his head off, he took that head of Goliath on the battlefield. Because David told him already what he was going to do. I'm going to kill you and I'm going to take off your head. David was wild. I'm not just going to cut you. I'm going to cut your head off. And he goes and on the battlefield, and he cuts his head off, and he takes the head of Saul, of Goliath, and he gives it to King Saul. And he gave it to King Saul, and he made a declaration so that the world may know that there is a God in Israel. This is why Goliath's head is being taken off, so the world may know that there is a God in Gateway City Church. The resourcefulness of David. He took Goliath's words. He took Goliath's weapons. He took Goliath's head and he took Goliath's armor. Scholars say that David took this armor, and Goliath's armor was about 5,000 shekels. The weight of it was 5,000 shekels of bronze, which was about 150 pounds. If you think about David being a 17-year-old, he was about 150 pounds. So he took his weight in armor as his own thing. See, he took Goliath's words and stuffed it back in his face and cut it off. He took Goliath's weapons and he gave it to the high priest. He took Goliath's head and he gave it to King Saul. But the armor, David took for himself. The Bible says he put it in his own tent. And can you imagine this? Just think about this one thought. David would not take Saul's armor, but he took Goliath's armor. Saul's armor didn't fit him. But when he defeated Goliath, he took his armor. He took his words, he took his weapons, he took his head, he took his armor, and he took his worship. David was a collector of instruments. You could see it throughout the book of Psalms. There are different types of instruments that are mentioned in the introductions of different psalms. And David, when he collected these instruments, he sat down one day to write a psalm called Psalm 8 that we call Psalm 8. And he needed one instrument, and he took this thing called the gittith. The gittith, it says in that scripture. And the gittith, if you study it out, you'll find out the gittith was a stringed instrument from a town in a country called Philistia, called Gath. David took the instrument of worship from Goliath of Gath's hometown. Can you imagine this? That when David sat down and he said, I want to write a song about God's name. If I'm going to write a song about God's name, the only instrument that would be apropos would be the instrument that I collected from the town of Gath of a man named Goliath, and the instrument is called a gittith, because when I looked at that giant, I used the name of the Lord of God, my God. He came to me. I looked at him and said, you come to me with swords and spears and javelins, but I come to you in the name. Come on, somebody. So he began to write the name of the Lord. Yeah, he began to write about the name of the Lord. How majestic is your name in all the earth. Oh Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. There's something about the name of the Lord. What's his name? His name is Jesus. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous run into it and they are safe. There's something about the name. When David took the spoils away from Goliath, he took not only his words, but his weapons, his head, his armor, but he also took his worship. And he said, I'm going to write it. Give me that instrument that is used to worship false gods, because I'm going to sing a song and I'm going to redeem this instrument and I'm going to give praise to the name of the Lord, my God. His name is Jesus. So I'm going to tell somebody right now, it's time to take some spoils. Guess what? It's time to take your family back. It's time to take your marriage back. time to take your kids back, your health back, your land back, San Jose back, California back. Guess what, California? Left coast. Guess what? God's going to reveal his glory. He's going to reveal his glory in this house. He's going to reveal his glory through your lives. What you're going through right now, the fights, the struggles, the battles you're going through, guess what? It's not for naught. It's not for you just to go through battles. But God is delivering you so you could be a deliverer. He's healing you so you could be a healer. He's restoring you so you can be a restorer. Can you imagine that the work, the testimony that God has been doing in your life is going to bring freedom to many people? You're going to take spoils. Because guess what? God's not just going to heal you. He's going to heal a lot of other people through your life. Spoils in Jesus' name. There's one scripture I want to show you. And I'm going to give you something delicious. In 1 Samuel chapter 14, talking about taking spoils. I love this verse in the Message paraphrase. In verse 29 through 30, Jonathan, the son of Saul, begins to talk about his father. And he says, "My father has troubled the land. Look now how my countenance has brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much better if the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies which they found. For now would there not have been a much greater slaughter among the Philistines." Listen to this. Because we're talking about taking spoils here today. Jonathan, after the battle, got a little taste. Gosh, I dropped oil on the carpet last night. And now honey. After the battle, he went and he tasted some honey. And the scripture says, his countenance brightened. Basically, he said, "Whoa, OMG. He said, "Oh my goodness. We fought this fight without even tasting or understanding the greatness of the spoils that God wanted to give us. If my men would have known, if they would have tasted in advance what they were about to get, they would have fought with more energy, come on somebody, with more fervor, with more power, with more attitude, because they would understand, because they've tasted and they've seen that what God is leading them into is so, so good." You see, before we leave today, at the end here, as you're going out the door, I'm going to give you a little taste of the glory. See what it tastes like. Three people know what I'm talking about. Okay. I'm going to give you a spoon. This is a prophetic spoon. Do not lose this spoon. Put this spoon on social media today. Hashtag taking spoils. Take pictures of it. Put this on your mantle. Put it in your home. Put it on your desk. This is a reminder that God is about to release some things that the enemy's tried to take in your life. He can't have them any longer, says the Spirit of the Lord. For I speak a word of release right now of everything that's been taken from you. For he shall restore seven times everything that has been taken from your life, says the Spirit of the Lord.
Pastor Patrick Keitley, come on everybody, give him a hand. What a word. How many needed that kind of a word? You've been facing some giants and just need a little hope, a little encouragement that God is with you in the battle. And that now we're not going to walk toward the giants. We're going to run. Amen. We're going to We're going to show the giants some attitude, all right? And I don't have Patrick's swag, but I can fight. I know. And some of you, just your back is up against the wall. It's time to fight. It's time to get serious and really believe in the Lord. Amen. Well, we appreciate Patrick, and we want to receive an offering, as I mentioned before. Patrick is planting a church, a brand new church. Now, for years, he led Shiloh Church, a great church. I'm talking about a historic church here in the Bay Area, in the city of Oakland, an overcoming apostolic fountainhead church, and a church that's still thriving to this day. And Patrick has received orders from headquarters. He's got Georgia on his mind. And Duluth, Georgia, just outside of Atlanta. And he's planting this fall. Now, I believe this will be Patrick's greatest effort yet. I believe God's hand is going to bless him. If you think Shiloh's a great church, get ready, Patrick, because the church you're going to plant is going to go. It's going to succeed big time. And we as a church are standing with you and Marlena and the kids, and we're standing with your project, and we're standing with your vision because we believe in you, and we're with you, and because we love cities. And God's talking to us as a church about cities, and he talks to us about generosity. So we're going to receive a love offering for Patrick, for his family, for his church planting effort in the city of Duluth, Georgia. We're going to see America needs one more great church. Well, America needs about another 10,000 great churches, but let's start right where we are. Amen. Let's believe God loves cities, and let's stand with the Kitleys. If you're giving today, just make it out to Gateway. We're going to give one gift to Patrick today. We want to take care of all of his expenses and send him home with something to invest in Georgia. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your blessing on our lives, and we just commit this offering to you. We speak blessing over Patrick Kitley, over the Kitley family, over Rain Church Atlanta. And we believe the rain is coming to Atlanta, and we thank you for that. Lord, rain down on that city your glory, and bless your people as they give and sow into this. We've received, now we're happy to give. We're thrilled to invest. Thank you that you bless the gift and the giver, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you're giving, we're going to just sing for maybe 1 minute, 1 minute, 2 minutes, and just worship the Lord. Let's let a little Holy Spirit time come. You know, Logan Millsap, are you in the service? Logan, we're going to be praying for you at the end. I know Logan's got a lot of friends. He's moving out of the area. We want to gather around him, and maybe we'll even have a chance to pray for Patrick. But let's just let the rivers roll a little bit this morning as you give. Amen. Come on, Whitney.
God with us, and God for us. Nothing can come against. No one can stand between us.
Lifting me up.
guest. No one can stand between us. God.
Just ask you to bow your heads right now. Just bow your heads in this room. Holy Spirit is here, and there's power in this room and in the cafe, and there's power online by the presence of Jesus, the one who touches people, the one who changes lives. He's ready to touch people right now to bring change. If you're in this room today, and I just feel to pray for you, you've been facing giants. Maybe you're in the biggest battle of your life right now, today. It's almost like a crisis. And you just need God's touch to help you to face that giant. If that's you, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just show me a hand. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Many people you're just facing. The power of God is here to touch. He can meet the need. He can lift you out of that sinkhole. You can put your hands down. And just while your heads are bowed, while you may wonder this morning if God loves you, I'm here to tell you that He loves you. And I'm not sure if you know that you can be forgiven and your sins can be cleansed and you can leave this room totally changed. I want to give you the opportunity to open your heart to Christ. And you're here today and you say, Pastor David, I'm not sure if my sins are forgiven. I don't know if I really know the Lord. I've heard about God, but I don't know if I know Him. I want a relationship with God. You can have that today. I want to pray for you, and God's going to do a miracle in your life. If that's you and you'd like me to pray for you, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just raise your hand and say, Pastor David, pray for me. God bless you. Many hands. God bless you. I want my life to change. I want to come to know Christ. Anyone else in the auditorium? Father, I pray for the giant killing, life-giving anointing of the Holy Spirit, the miracle of new life to come into every single person who needs a touch today. Lord, thank you for lifting us up out of every pit. Thank you for giving us strength, Lord, to face the giants, because today we're walking out of this building and we're going to face our world. We're going to face our neighbor and our workplace, and we're going back. We need your strength, God. Strengthen and heal and deliver, Lord, and provide, Lord, wherever it's needed. And for those that raise their hand to receive Christ, Lord, would you do a miracle in their heart? In Jesus' name, touch them, forgive their sins. May they never be the same again, in Christ's name. Now, would you guys just look right at me? I want you to say a prayer with me. We're going to say a prayer together as a congregation. Everyone listening online and in the cafe and wherever you're hearing my voice, we're going to say this prayer. Let's all pray together. Just say, Father God, in Jesus' name, I humbly come. I'm not righteous in myself. But by faith, I receive the gift of righteousness and forgiveness that comes from Christ. Wash my sins, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and help me to live big for you. From today forward, I call myself a follower of Jesus Christ, and I will never turn back. Thank you, Lord, for saving me and giving me your power. In Jesus' name. Now let's shout hallelujah to the Lord and give God praise this morning. Hallelujah. I'm so glad we could be together. Look here, this is real. I'm so glad we could be together. I love each and every one of you. Our whole team, we love you. Our church loves you. And we want you to come back. We want you to be here next Sunday. It's going to be a great time. Don't forget your lawn chairs and your swimsuits for the little guys and the towels. And it's going to be a great time. We're going to have lunch together. You're going to receive a spoon with some prophetic honey on it, right? And that, and when you taste that, you're going to say, yep, I want a little taste of the victory of what God has ahead for me, all right? Let's arise, let's pursue, let's overtake all. Take a minute and reach out to two or three people around you. Welcome each other, love each other, high five somebody, and God bless you. Don't forget just 25 minutes, the homeless meeting in the MPR, which is that big room to my left. We'll meet you there. God bless you. You're dismissed. Thank you, everyone. And if you need prayer, hey, come to the front. Our folks are here to pray for anyone who needs prayer. If you need healing prayer, if you're discouraged, come on, check us out here at the front.
we pray today's message ministered to you. If you want to accept Jesus into your life, we'd like to help you get started on your walk with Him. You may reach Gateway City Church at 408-281-7900. If we can help you in any way, please call today. One of our pastors is ready to assist you. Again, the number for Gateway City Church is 408-281-7900. Thank you for listening. If you are ever in the San Jose area, please join us and find out what so many have already discovered. Gateway City Church really is an exciting church that loves life, loves people, and loves God.